Take your Bibles, please, and let's turn together to Genesis chapter 43. Last time we left with the brothers returning back home without one of their brothers. Simeon had to stay behind. And the plan, according to Joseph, was that they would have to bring back their younger brother. And if they did not, then Simeon was going to die. And so that was the plan, so to speak. And so they went back to Canaan, and there they told their father that they had met the man. So we use that phrase over and over again in 42 and 43. And they now, having been back in the land for about a year, used up all the food. In verse 1 of chapter 43, and the famine was sore in the land. And it came to pass, when they had eaten up the corn which they had brought out of Egypt, their father said unto them, go again, buy us a little food. I think that's interesting, because they don't understand how long this famine is going to be. Remember, when it started, they got hungry very quickly within that first year of famine, and they went down to Egypt, brought back food. Now they're in year two, and they're thinking that this is going to be over soon, but it's not. It's not. Just go and buy a little food. And then Judah speaks up. It's interesting. Judah now kind of rises to the fore. And Judah, if you'll go back in your mind to chapter 37, was the one that spoke up and said, instead of killing Joseph, let's sell him to those that are traveling, the caravans traveling down into Egypt. So Judah was the one that said, let's sell our brother. Let's make a little money off of this in the process. Now Judah's going to come to the forefront, because as we're going to see in this particular chapter, Judah's the one that does most of the talking here and guarantees to his father that he will return when they come back from Egypt this second time with Benjamin and with Simeon. Now he's stepping out on a limb now, is he not? He's stepping out and he said, I'm bringing back both of the brothers. We cannot buy unless we bring Benjamin with us. Verse 2, and it came to pass, when they had eaten up the corn which they had brought out of Egypt, their father said unto them, go again, buy us a little food. And Judah spake unto him, saying, the man did solemnly protest unto us, saying, ye shall not see my face, except your brother be with you. If thou wilt send our brother with us, we will go down and buy thee food. But if thou wilt not send him, we will not go down. The man said unto us, ye shall not see my face, except your brother be with you. And Israel said, wherefore dealt ye so ill with me, as to tell the man whether ye had yet a brother? Wow. The father says to the boys, why did you have to tell him that there was another brother? And which begs the question, why did they? Why did they? For they said in the sentence back to Joseph, you'll recall back in chapter 42, there is a brother that is not, and a younger brother that is. They not only told about Benjamin, but they said there's one brother that's not with us anymore. And little did they know that they were standing in front of that brother that they said is not. You see, folks, We're going to look at this today. It's hard to keep a secret. It's hard to keep a secret. There are people that try. And we're going to say more about that. I don't want to get started on that yet. But here we go. Verse 6. And Israel said, wherefore dealt ye so ill with me as to tell the man whether ye had yet a brother? And they said, the man asked us straitly of our state and of our kindred, saying, is your father yet alive? Have ye another brother? And we told him according to the tenor of these words. Could we certainly know that he would say, bring your brother down? And Judah said unto Israel, his father, send the lad with me, and we will arise and go, that we may live and not die, both we and thou, and also our little ones. I will be surety for him. Of my hand shalt thou require him. If I bring not unto thee and set him before thee, then let me bear the blame forever. For except we had lingered, surely now we had returned the second time. And their father Israel said unto them, if it must be so now, do this. Take of the best fruits in the land of your vessels, and carry down the man a present, a little balm, and a little honey, spices and myrrh, nuts and almonds, and take double money in your hand, and the money that was brought again in the mouth of your sacks, carry it again in your hand. Peradventure, it was an oversight. And we talked about that, the money that was put back into their bags, and when they got home, they realized the money that we were supposed to use to buy the food the first time has been put back in our backs. Maybe that was an oversight on their part. No, it was on purpose. Joseph wants to be reconciled to his brothers. But Joseph wants to be reconciled biblically. And I mention that because we live in a world today where reconciliation simply means compromise. You compromise a little, I'll compromise a little, and we'll have reconciliation. That's not reconciliation. That's a deception. To think that you're going to be reconciled to someone that has sinned, or maybe you have sinned, but you're not taking ownership of that, we're going to look at that today. Because Joseph is going through this process in chapters 43 and 44, because in chapter 43, we see them destitute again the second time in the early verses. When you get down to the end of the chapter, they're back in Egypt again and they're at a big feast. Look at the end of the chapter here. Chapter 43, look at these last verses. Verse 31, and he washed his face and went out and refrained himself and said, set it bread. You know what he'd been doing? He'd been crying. He saw his brother that he had not seen, Benjamin. He's crying. But he goes back out, he washes himself, he refrains himself from weeping, and said, set on bread. And they set on for him by himself and for them by themselves and for the Egyptians which did eat with him by themselves, because the Egyptians might not eat bread with the Hebrews, for that is an abomination unto the Egyptians. And they sat before him, the firstborn according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth, and the men marveled one at another. This man knows the order of our births. How does he know that? But they still don't get it. They still don't get it. They're still clinging and harboring their secret. Their secret. But they don't know that Joseph has a secret. Joseph knows. And so he sets them out by order of their age, and they didn't tell him. But he knows it. It's a clue for the clueless. Isn't that amazing? When you read your Bible, does it live for you? Do you see the nuances that are here? God showing us what He's doing in the lives of these boys that have been harboring a secret now for 22 years. A secret within themselves. I am amazed that they were able to hold that for 22 years. You know, children cannot keep secrets. They're going to tell. They're going to tell everything that they know. We've told parents over the years, hey, we won't believe half the things you say that your kids say about what you say as long as you don't believe half the things that they say about us. Right? Secrets. Secrets revealed. All right? These guys tried to hold from their father the truth. And they don't see. They don't see right now. We're going to talk about that in regard to the secrets that they were hiding. Let's continue on. Verse 33, and they sat before him, the firstborn according to the birthright, and the youngest according to his youth. And the men marveled one at the other, and he took and sent messes unto them before him. But Benjamin's mess was five times so much as any of theirs. How many of you parents have used your child's name in place of Benjamin? In a Bible verse, you know. Now this mess is a good mess. Most of the messes that our kids leave behind, not good. But here Joseph gives a mess. It's an old Hebrew word. It's the idea that he bestowed gifts upon them. But upon Benjamin he gave five times more. This is a good mess, right? Would that we had that kind of gift that would come from the leader of Egypt. And so, he's bestowing upon them gifts and goods, and things of that nature, food to eat in abundance. And we find here that they drank and were merry with him. And they don't know that they're drinking and being merry with their own brother. What's clouding them from seeing this? The secret. The secret. The harbored sin within their heart keeps them from knowing the truth. Let me share with you something that I learned many, many years ago, and I think it's something that's very, very important. A statement was made to me by a visiting preacher. This was back whenever I was in college here at Santa Rosa Christian College, and we had a guest speaker that came in and taught a modular class. And he came in, an elderly fellow, just a godly man. And I sat there and I was taking notes furiously as he taught our Bible classes over a week. We had 2-hour sessions with him throughout the week, and I learned so much from him. It was beneficial to me in my spiritual walk. But this is what he said, and I wrote this down and I've kept it close to me through the years. You're only as sick as your secrets. I meditate on that for just a moment. You're only as sick as your secrets. These boys were sick, and they didn't realize it. They were sick. They were fevered with sin, and yet they didn't realize it. And what Joseph is going to do through these actions that are going to take, we're going to see something amazing take place. He is going to have his cup delivered to the servants, and the servants are going to take it and put it in Benjamin's bag. He's going to send them out of town, and then he's going to send a group of Egyptians after them. Someone has stolen Joseph's cup. And they go through all the bags. It's interesting. They go in order of the boys. Because who's the last bag they get to? Benjamin. They open Benjamin's bag, and there inside the bag is the money and Joseph's cup. And Judah, we're going to learn, speaks up and says, "Take me in place of my brother, for my brother must return. My brother must return to my father, or he will die of sorrow." Here's Judah now. All of a sudden, imputation becomes important. The same boy that uttered these words, "Let us sell him to the caravan," speaking of Joseph. Now with Benjamin, he's got a different attitude. You know what we're beginning to see in these boys' life? A recognition. A recognition. They're going to start taking ownership of their secret sin. Taking ownership. Let's get into this. A realization and ownership of the personal role that led to their sinful actions. Flip over to chapter 44 for just a moment in verse 16. I want you to see this. "And Judah said, 'When shall we say unto my Lord, what shall we speak, or how shall we clear ourselves? God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants. Behold, we are my Lord's servants, both we and he also with whom the cup is found.'" What do you see here, folks? The Lord hath exposed our what? Our iniquity. Our iniquity. The secretness of their vile sin is exposed. And he knows it. Judah is the one that comes out and says, "The Lord knows what we have done, and we're now paying for that because it's the youngest son where the cup was found." And Joseph requires them to return back to him. And there, at that particular moment, he tells them who he is. You see, he sees in Judah something that he didn't see before, because Joseph was there and heard all their talking. He heard Reuben's voice. "Let's kill him." Simeon's voice speaking up. And then Judah said, "Let's not kill him. Let's sell him." All this banter over their brother's future. And now Judah is willing to go in Benjamin's place so that Benjamin is not kept behind because he doesn't want his father hurt anymore. Joseph senses something has changed. Judah wasn't at all concerned about his father when he harbored the lie, right? For 22 years he wasn't concerned, but now he's concerned. He's concerned about his father's well-being. I will go back in place of Benjamin so that Benjamin can return to my father. And then they all come back and Joseph confronts them in chapters 44 and in 45. And we see that they've taken ownership. They've taken ownership. Let's go a little bit further in this process of reconciliation. A repentance for the wrongdoing. A repentance. Look at verse 33 of chapter 44. Now therefore, I pray thee, let thy servant abide instead of the lad a bondman to my Lord, and let the lad go up with his brethren. For how shall I go to my father, and the lad be not with me, lest peradventure I see the evil that should come on my father? Who was harboring the secret from their father? The very man that's speaking. You know what he's taking ownership of? You know what he's repenting of? The hurt that he had caused his father. It was his voice that said, sell him! We'll make some money off of him. And he had lived with this secret sin for 22 years. It was there all the time, just eating away. Secret sin, eating away within the heart. And now, he can't take it anymore. And he said, let the lad go to my father so that no more evil will come to him. And then we have the verses that follow in chapter 45. Oh, notice this. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, cause every man to go out for me. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard it. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? He wanted to know the truth. He wasn't too sure whether they were telling it whenever they said, send the boy back, the lad back to our father so no evil befalls him. How is my father? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And when they came near, and he said, I am Joseph your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. Here's an adult. He got it. He knew exactly why he was in Egypt. It was part of God's great plan to save what would become the nation of Israel. God was at work. And their evil, God meant it for, say it, good. God meant it for good. But now, they're exposed. They have been dealing with their brother the whole time. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity on the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. And so it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and the Lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste ye, and go up to my father and say unto him, thus saith the son Joseph, God hath made me Lord over all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children, and thy children's children, and thy flocks, and thy herds, and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish thee, For yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. And behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that it is my mouth that speaketh unto you. And ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, and of all that ye have seen. And ye shall haste and bring down my father hither. And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all of his brethren and wept unto them. And after that, his brethren talked with him. What do we call that? Reconciliation. But what happened first? You got to realize and own up your sin. And you got to repent of it. And there has to be this, the releasing of the hate. You think that's a good picture of the releasing of the hate? He fell upon his brother's neck, Benjamin, who had no part, had no role in all of this, wept upon him first. And then who else did he weep upon and kiss? The very brothers that were determined to kill him and lied to their father, said he's dead when he was alive, sold him to a caravan going down to Egypt. Reconciliation. You know, there's some people that struggle with hate for other people that just won't let it go. And they have some form of reconciliation, which is just a lie, because they've never dealt with the sin and the hate that's there. Can I share with you something that came to me this week? It's a letter from the wife of a man that ran a girls' home here in Milton. I noticed that they had closed up shop downtown, the Marvelous Grace Girls Decor Store. It had been closed up ever since 2020. And then I got a letter that said that they had left Milton and had moved to Mississippi. So I called up one of the local pastors. I said, hey, is something going on? Oh, yes. Something wonderful has happened. They have been given a complete facility, housing facility, and the director of the home has been given a pastorate in Mississippi. I said, oh, that's wonderful. They're able to provide, had 36 girls. But that wasn't the true story. The true story was that the director of the girls' home had been involved in a relationship with a woman that worked there for many, many years. It was a secret. The Marvelous Grace Girls Academy is permanently closed, and there are no more girls in our care. Hope Mountain Baptist Church in Mississippi is being dissolved, and legal proceedings have begun to reverse the gifting of the Duck Hill, Mississippi property back to the individual that had given it to them. This is the wife. I must admit that the last month and a half have been the lowest point in my entire life. I truly never thought that I would ever have to deal with anything like this. But the Lord has brought me into this adversity for His eternal purpose. My husband has assured me that he has truly repented of his adultery and of keeping it a secret from me for so long. I believe him and have seen fruits of his repentance. I have fully forgiven him for both of his sins, and I have forgiven the woman that he sinned with. I know a lot of people think I am crazy, but I believe that the right thing to do is to stay by his side. My whole desire is to please the Lord, to heal from all the trauma and hurt that this has caused, and follow and serve the Lord together as a husband and wife in whatever capacity that He sees fit. I want to thank all of you for your prayers during this time and your encouraging words and love that many of you have shown to us. God's grace has truly been sufficient and has much more abounded. And then she goes on to say, to tell about the devastating effects it had on their young son. All of the above being said, we want you to know that our plan as a couple is to step aside from ministry, to find a local church to attend, and to heal, recover, and be restored. Thank you for taking the time to read this letter. May the Lord bless you in Christ. and she signed her name. We had given gifts in the past to help out. I had met with them on several occasions. But my heart is broken this morning because there's 36 girls now that have been returned back to their horrible environments that they were in because of one man's sin. The ministry is ended. It's gone. Secret sin. It's real, folks. I wonder that even in a congregation as ours of what I believe to be faithful people, if there's secrets, sinful secrets, that are held within and nobody knows about it. But they are sins nonetheless that need to be confessed. You see, there is no reconciliation for whoever's heart you've broken because of your sin, or whoever may have their heart broken because of your secret. I don't know, but I know this: reconciliation will not take place until the sin is realized and ownership taken, repentance has taken place, and as this dear wife released the hate held. I want you to know this morning that I'm thankful that God released the hate toward me as a sinner. Because my sin doomed Todd Brainerd to an eternity in hell. God's hatred against what? Sin. He created hell because of His hatred of sin that took place in heaven. When Satan exalted himself and the third of the angels followed after him in their hatred of God. So He created a place called the lake of fire, a place also known as hell, where the Old Testament, those that have rejected Christ would be held in time and then would be taken eventually and dumped into the lake of fire. God created it for all those that reject Him because God hates sin. And secret sin, secret holding to sin that nobody knows about, will continue to become cankerous, and the rottenness will be revealed sooner or later, and then it will be out in the open. This dear wife, she's got something to her, amen? There's something to her. She wrote a masterful letter. She said, "I believe it's the right thing for me to do. Call me crazy, but I think it's the right thing for me to do." She has released the hate. Is that easy to do? Oh no, it's not. But we see that pictured here where Joseph does not harbor any hate toward his brothers, but instead embraces them and kisses them to let them know everything's all right on my side. And do you know that that's what God has done for us through Jesus Christ our Lord? Everything's all right on my side, but you have to receive me. You have to receive me on my terms. Joseph sees something here, a willingness on Judah's part to take the place of Benjamin. That's getting it. Amen? That's getting it. I will take his place. Do to me whatever. I will take the place of Benjamin. Imputation. Let my brother go. Did Joseph see that in Judah 22 years before? No. You want to know how much of a Christian you are? Is your willingness to take the place of somebody that hurt you, knowing you've lied, but you take the place, your willingness to take the place for somebody else because of the sin that you've done. Now you're learning something. Now you're growing. Oh, there's some other things that I want to bring out here. We're almost done. restoration. But note, please, what I have to say here. Restoration to whatever degree possible of what was lost. What was lost that could never be replaced? 22 years of fellowship. And what destroyed those 22 years of fellowship? Secret sin. Secret sin. Destroyed. And they could never get that back. Oh, Joseph, I'm sure, would interview the boys in the future. Tell me about your families. I want to know about your kids. I want to know about your wives. I want to know about my dad. What happened over 22 years? Well, I've been here. How's Dad doing? That's the first thing he asked them, by the way. Is he alive? Oh, he loved his dad. But those boys had sinned against their father, and now he's going to send them back. And what does he expect them to do when they go back? When they go back, they're going to tell their father, he is alive. But what else are they going to have to tell their father? Sinned. Dad, we sinned against you. We lied. Joseph was not killed by a wild animal. The blood that was sprinkled on that coat that was torn by us was all a lie. We sold him. Can you imagine admitting that? Can you imagine confessing that you sold your brother out? Oh, how many brothers have been sold out over the years? Pride and arrogance and a willingness to advance on the backs of somebody else, brothers and sisters that have been trampled upon. These brothers had to go to their father and say, Dad, we've been holding a lie. We've been holding a secret for 22 years. Dad, can you forgive us? Can you forgive us? You know the rest of the story. But I want you to know this. Some things cannot be restored, even though you try. There were some things that could be somebody telling you a memory of something that happened during those 22 years, but is it the same when you're not there to enjoy it too? That had all been taken away. And then on Jacob's part, having his heart injured so deeply for 22 years, thinking his son is dead. And then his boys come back and say, Dad, we lied. He is alive, and he wants you to come back. Very quickly, reconciliation of the brothers and a rejection of future sinful actions that would destroy the restored union. Would you look at chapter 45, verses 24 through 28 for just a moment? I want you to see this. Verse 24 of chapter 45, so he sent his brethren away, and they departed, and he said unto them, see that ye fall not out by the way. That's a great Bible verse. That's a great Bible verse. See to it, brothers, that you don't fall out of the way. What was the temptation? He still doesn't trust them fully, does he? He remembers how treacherous they were back 22 years ago. And maybe they're along the way. But boys, brothers, see that ye fall not out of the way. You know what he's saying there? Don't go on and lie some more. Don't go on and create another secret. You stay in the way, boys. You stay in the way of righteousness. That is a picture that screams in the Hebrew. His concern that they go back and tell the truth to Dad. Don't fall out of the way. You go back and you make things right with Dad. Isn't it interesting that he does not interject himself here and say, I'm going back with you? I'm going to go back with you and make sure you tell Dad. Oh, no. He says, I'm going to send you back. I'm going to send you back. But I want you to know something. You make things right with Dad, and then you bring him back with you. We'll pick up with that in the near future, that whole bringing of Jacob back, because he's near the end of his life. And he gets to spend those last final days with his son Joseph. And some little tiny measure he's able to enjoy. And we're going to see the picture of him blessing all the different brothers. And then he gets to Joseph. Oh boy. He gets to Joseph. And he blesses his two sons. And it's a beautiful picture in the Word of God. Oh, he brings out some things about those other brothers. But when he gets to Joseph and his boys, there is a blessing that's poured out from his heart because his boy is still alive. I want us to know something this morning. Reconciliation is not an easy process. And any reconciliation that's promoted that's easy, I can tell you is wrong. Reconciliation is a lancing of wounds, a boil. We don't have very many boils today. I remember as a child seeing somebody that had two boils. Both of them were on their neck. You talk about grotesque looking? A large boil on their neck, and then they had to have it lanced and drained, and all the infection got. That's disgusting, right? Generally caused in the past by poor hygiene. Not always, but most times by poor hygiene. But the only way to get that huge rising, as they used to call them, was to lance it and drain it. And that's what happens in the process of reconciliation. Would you bow your heads? Father in heaven, the best way I know how, I've sought to share this passage of Scripture to highlight the road, the process of reconciliation. It's far different than what the world promotes today. Today's process of reconciliation claims no ownership of any wrongdoing. Both sides basically sign off and say, we admit no wrongdoing, but we're compromising here so we can get back together again. How foolish. They don't last because it's not really reconciliation. I pray that you'd help us to understand what was necessary for Joseph and his brothers to be restored to fellowship. Oh, it was a difficult road. It involved the revelation of a secret, a horrible secret, a secret kept from their father for 22 years, that their brother had been killed by an animal and his blood shed, and that's all they had left was the coat of many colors, ripped and torn and saturated in blood. But it was all a false narrative. And they had lived with that secret for 22 years. Father, I pray that you'd work in our hearts today. Maybe there's someone here or more than one person perhaps that's living with a secret. Just like the letter that I shared, a preacher, well-known evangelist, traveling all over the country, raising support for a very much needed girl's home. But he had a secret that he was hiding from his wife and hiding from others that was revealed. You can't cover sin. Sin is corrosive. It'll eat through whatever layers we put on it. I pray that you would do a work today in hearts. I pray that we might understand that secrets are horrible things. They destroy, they maim, and they take away things that are good and wholesome. I pray that you might help us to take away from this reconciliation process the truth. And I pray that you might help us to understand what we have in Thee, our Savior, the reconciliation that was procured for us as sinners. The price paid on the cross of Calvary, the shed blood, that we might be reconciled to God. And the cry goes out this morning, be ye reconciled unto God. There's a lost person here today. I pray, Father, that they might move toward Thee and be reconciled, because the reconciliation has been secured. All they have to do is accept it, confessing their sin, repenting of their sin, and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, use your word to touch our hearts, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.